the monsters and the doctor. It seems you cannot have one without the other.
You are listening to a bonus Treknologic episode, number unknown for unknown stardate.
The doctor must die!
Not a lot of men can carry off a decorative vegetable.
I'm my mother.
Don't blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead.
In the mountains of solace and solitude, there stood the citadel of the Time Lord.
Hey everyone, welcome to Treknologic. My name is Jeff, and I'm captain of the USS Relativity. Today, we'll be reviewing... Chris, what was that?
There was some kind of disturbance in the time stream as we were traveling, Captain. Whoa, hold on a sec. All right, I've checked the readings, and somehow we've jumped ahead to the 51st century.
That is not good. Unacceptable. Our assignments should never take us anywhere near that century. We'd better get out of here before we cause an incursion.
Hey, Captain Jeff. I am picking up a derelict ship nearby. It has really low power. It doesn't even really have a whole lot of life support, but there are life signs on it. They might be in trouble.
Well, in that case, maybe we can hang around. Maybe we should check it out. We just can't leave them to die.
Captain, I'd suggest that we use the impulse engines to get there. I'm going to take the temporal drives offline. Every time I try to engage them, they make this weird grinding noise. Listen.
Ooh. Man, that sounds really bad.
Yeah, I totally know that sound. If I'm right, we're about to see someone that is responsible for more temporal incursions than Kirk, Picard, Janeway, Sisko, and Archer combined.
Oh, no. You're right. I'm getting the readings now. It looks like we're about to review the Doctor Who episode, The Girl in the Fireplace. Well, let's get to it before anyone notices we're here. Hey, Carrie, what is the quick summary of The Girl in the Fireplace?
This episode takes place in multiple time periods as the 10th Doctor, Rose, and Mickey find time windows leading to 18th century France and clockwork droids who are using them to stalk Madame de Pompadour through her life.
The story for this one was by Stephen Moffat, and the director was Euros Lin. It originally broadcast on May 6th of 2006, and Geos ranks this 9th out of the 94 new Doctor Who episodes.
The robots driven by intricate clockwork and mechanical gears are based on self-operating machines called automatons, which were present in 17th century Europe.
Oh, that's cool. And yeah. Those robots looked awesome.
Yeah.
Creepily awesome.
The gears and all that. I mean, first off, the mask was like so scary and creepy and weird. And then when we got to see the gears, I'm like, man, someone worked on that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is interesting because I didn't really notice it at first, and shame on me, I guess. The spaceship is actually designed in the shape of a key.
Shame on me, too.
Huh. And I guess, you know, it's all a set of doors, and that's the key to the door, because that ship is providing the power for all those time gateways.
Ah. I like that. All right, well, let's get into our clips and commentary. The Doctor, Rose, and some new companion arrive in the 53rd century on some kind of spaceship, which appears to be deserted and perhaps damaged. Oddly, on this ship, they find an old stone fireplace with a fire going in it. And on the other side, a brave little French girl.
Hello?
What's your name?
Renette.
Renette, that's a lovely name. Can you tell me where you are at the moment, Renette?
In my bedroom.
And where's your bedroom? Where do you live, Renette?
Paris, of course.
Paris, right.
Monsieur, what are you doing in my fireplace?
No, it's just a routine fire check. Can you tell me what year it is?
Of course I can. 1727.
Right, lovely. One of my favourites. August is rubbish, though. Stay indoors. Okay, that's all for now. Thanks for your help. Hope you enjoy the rest of the fire. Night-night.
Good night, monsieur.
You said this was the 51st century.
I also said this ship was generating enough power to punch a hole in the universe. I think we just found the hole. Must be a spatiotemporal hyperlink.
What's that?
No idea. Just made it up. Didn't want to say magic door.
And on the other side of the magic door is France in 1727.
Well, she was speaking French. Right period French, too.
She was speaking English. I heard it.
That's the TARDIS translates for you.
Even French?
Yep.
So... that's kind of like, I think that's kind of like how our universal translators work, that people don't even really know it's happening.
Yep.
Yeah. They have an equivalent.
Yes. And I like the girl, just, there's a person on the other side of your fireplace. Oh, that's all right. Let's see who they are.
She takes it in stride.
But I think,
you know, Renette means queen, right?
I did not know okay. that. Cool.
Yes. It's a version of queen. So there's some foreshadowing.
She was a brave little girl, and looking at that, I would freak out. I would get the hell out of there. On the other hand, Doctor Who, he's got several lifetimes of experience. He really reacts quite well to this strange thing, this strange spaceship, and then here's this out of place fireplace with a little girl. And I think he acted pretty well. He dealt with that situation pretty smoothly, given the circumstances.
Well, he's used to traveling back and forward in time, and, you know, he needs has to be able to come up with cover stories on the fly, kind of.
Yes, and he did well.
Yes. Yeah.
I was impressed with the doctor.
Yeah, routine fire inspection. Yep, it's hot.
Here, have a marshmallow.
One reason that I think is why she didn't react too weird is because she's used to having servants like all around her all the time, right?
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's one reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly they have them on the other side of the fireplace.
Well,
yeah. Well, maybe that doesn't quite work. But...
a chimney sweep or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally, with the fire.
Normally you extinguish the fire beforehand. However,
yes.
The point is still valid.
Oh, and the some new companion, Mickey is actually Rose's boyfriend.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought Rose was the boyfriend of the doctor.
Rose isn't anybody's boyfriend. She's a girl.
Yes. You thought Rose's boyfriend was the doctor?
Well, actually, let me ask you about that. Didn't Rose have something with Eccleston, the previous doctor, or no? Is that
she
not
was true? She was his companion for a while.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, there was something where, some episode where the two of them went off somewhere or something, like in an alternate.
Oh.
That's
oh.
David Tennant, and that's towards yeah. the end of the Rose cycle.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's not in this. That's farther down the line.
Yeah, that's
is that this doctor?
Yes.
Yes, this doctor and this Rose.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I got a little confused. It was a little confusing.
Moving back and forth in time can be very
a little jarring.
We'll give you a pill for that later.
I try to avoid it.
To some extent,
avoid moving in time. That's good.
to some extent, though, the companions, some of the companions do kind of fall for the doctor.
Ah.
Like most of them, it seems.
Because he is extremely charismatic.
Yeah.
Well, okay, except for like the really old doctors that are kind of, you know, creepy.
Yeah.
Well, the past three doctors have been fairly charismatic, I'd say.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
This shows the humor, I think, that's inherent in almost all the Doctor Who episodes. They stray between being humorous and serious all the time.
I like that. Yes. It's difficult, and they do it well.
Yeah. I mean, what's the last show that really did that in any way? I think MASH, maybe?
Yeah, MASH yeah. would have those. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see how he's not afraid to say, I made up that word because it sounds so much better than magic door.
Right.
So they're, you know, they're acknowledging the fact that they're making stuff up.
Yep.
Wish they would do that on, you know, another series.
Sliders.
No, in Sliders, they just say they're from Canada.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had said we're from Canada, then...
All right, moving on. The doctor goes through a door into the past, and the little girl is there, although a bit of time has passed for her. However, they are not alone. A creepy person with a masquerade-type mask on is also there. The doctor captures the person and learns that it is actually a robot.
Where did that thing come from?
Here. So why is it dressed like that? Field trip to France, some kind of basic camouflage protocol. Nice needlework. Shame about the face.
Oh, you are beautiful. Oh, really, you are. You're gorgeous. Look at that. Space age clockwork. I love it. I've got chills.
Listen, seriously. I mean this from the heart. And by the way, count those. It would be a crime. It would be an act of vandalism to disassemble you. But that won't stop me.
Short-range teleport. Can't have got far. Can still be on board.
What is it?
Don't go looking for it.
Where are you going?
Back in a sec.
He said not to look for it.
Yeah, he did.
I love the respect that Doctor Who has for some of his enemies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He could admire them and still be their enemy, but he shows an absolute respect when it's deserved.
And in this case, it is. And he does it so light and airy. I like that. He doesn't seem to get stressed out. Like, I'd be pretty stressed out.
There have been some episodes where he gets stressed out.
Yes.
But not this one.
See, but the thing is I don't know that it's necessarily an enemy. I mean, he tries to give other people and creatures multiple chances.
Yes.
To change themselves, because he doesn't want to have to resort to violence or resort to destroying things.
Yeah, that was more of a warning. You know, I really think you're a great thing, but if it comes down to it, it won't stop me from destroying you.
I thought that the scene with the bed, when he's looking under the bed, I thought that was effective. It was creepy. I was a little like, ugh. And then the thing, and then you just see the feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what's up there? And the masks were effective.
Now, see, did we get, because it's been a while since I've seen this, and one of the things that I do remember is that, you know, he talks about how clever it is because it's a clockwork, so it makes that ticking noise.
Right.
And there's a clock in the room that doesn't work.
Right. Because he broke it. Yeah.
Did we actually see beforehand that there was, did we get flashes of the clock at all so that we knew already that the clock was broken if we were paying attention?
Yeah, they showed it a couple times, and I think this is actually when he tells her, you know, if you hear the ticking, that means they're coming.
Yeah. But,
which is a nice little warning.
And I think they also say she's not ready yet.
Right.
She's too young.
Just that she's not ready yet is kind of creepy because it means that they're waiting for something.
Yes.
It's
pretty
creepy.
And you just don't know what.
Yes. Very effective. All right, moving on. Renette is now even older, a young woman, and again, the doctor finds himself with her in the past. He discovers her true identity.
You seem to be flesh and blood at any rate, but this is absurd. Reason tells me you cannot be real.
Oh, you never want to miss the reason.
Mademoiselle, your mother grows impatient.
A moment! So many questions, so little time.
Poisson.
Renette Poisson.
No.
No, 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 no way. Renette Poisson. Later Madame Etoile. Later still Mistress of Louis XV, uncrowned Queen of France. Actress, artist, musician, dancer, courtesan. Fantastic gardener.
Who the hell are you?
I'm the doctor. And I just snogged Madame de Pompadour.
I like that they do this where they give you, I mean, it's a little bit of a history lesson, but it seems totally natural that he's talking like this and telling you about who that person is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he's like there hiding, watching everything that's going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Cause he was like just kind of peeking in there and.
Right. He was out there behind the wall.
That's kind of creepy.
I like his exuberance about it. I mean, he's kind of like a. Is he like this? Is he kind of like a boy? Like, he's got this childlike enthusiasm and excitement for these things that I thought was kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
That's the, that is Doctor Who. That is the essence of Doctor Who, this effervescence. And however, he is weighed down by all the things that he's seen. One of the things he says in the series is that, you know, he remembers every death that he sees.
Ooh,
and he mourns it.
Yeah.
So there's this duality, I think, of his personality, and we'll see that in this episode.
And knowing that he just regenerates, that he never really dies,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, that persona will die, a new one will come about, and it will have a different person. He will have a different personality slightly, but some of the old doctor will be retained. But knowing that he's going to continue on, he lives for an extremely, each incarnation lives for an extremely long time. He mm-hmm. does see these, so it's like he's this old, old, wizened person. He has all this information.
Yeah.
Which is all these facts and everything else and interesting ways of doing things. But at the same time, he retains that childlike sense of wonder because I think that's how he copes.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you find out in the series is that, in a way, that way he deals with it kind of irritates the other Time Lords.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are they serious and stuffy?
Very much.
Yes. Yeah.
I can see that.
One little tidbit, I don't know if you guys noticed when you were watching this, but the woman that she was walking through the yard with is Guinevere
yes.
from Merlin.
Yes.
When I first watched
that.
It, I was like, who is that? And then I went and looked it up. I'm like, holy cow, it's Guinevere.
You watch those?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I love that show.
I love that show, too. I'm behind, though. I've only watched the first two seasons. I think the third one's out. That's yeah. I noticed yes. her too, and she's a pretty good little actress. I like her.
Yeah,
and
she was only in there for a minute or two.
Yeah.
I also have to say I really like the companions because you know Doctor Who told Rose, you know, don't go looking for it. He knows she's going to go look for it.
Yes, basically that's permission.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Every companion goes and leaves the doctor whenever he says, don't go and do something.
Oh, that's funny. That's just how it goes. Huh?
It's just how it goes.
And I mean, and so, but the fact that, you know, Mickey was all about, well, he said, don't go look. And she's like, yeah, I know. He knows I'm going to go look.
Yep.
I like Renette, her reaction when she sees the doctor again. You know, she's calm and cool and all that. But obviously, she's been thinking about him a lot and in a romantic manner. And I just think it's kind of interesting that for all these years, how old do we think she is in this scene? In her almost in a late teenager, maybe?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, late teens is before. Or maybe early 20s.
And she's been thinking about him, and she knows she only has a minute, and so she takes action.
Yeah.
And I like that.
It reminded
I like her.
Me.
I like the character.
That's something else that happens a few times. It tends to happen to people where the doctor revisits them because he becomes important in their life then because it was this weird thing that happened and then he's back again and he's, you know, unchanged.
Even if he's only been in their life for 30 seconds,
right,
a minute and a half, she's obviously relived it a gazillion times.
Right.
Well, he's dashing and mysterious and...
He sure is.
Some more vocabulary words.
You know what?
Star Rejects collecting the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of Amy Pond, kind of.
Yes.
Because she saw him when she was 5 or 6 or 7, I don't know. And then she just... Now, she had like, I don't know, 8 hours or something with him.
Right.
And as a child, and then... That's all, you know, when he comes back, we see her room. He doesn't see her room, but her room is covered with pictures of the blue box. And
right.
Yes.
Yep.
Is that a later companion?
That's the current doctor's companion.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the current? It's okay.
The 11th doctor.
Matt Smith.
Yes, which one is? Is this number 10?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're on number. This we're reviewing right now is number 10.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I guess we haven't really reviewed a Doctor Who before, but it is very clever how they work it, where they can change out the actor of the Doctor
yep.
and have it woven into the story.
Yes.
So that essentially it is timeless itself.
As opposed to your Doctor just going away and getting a crappy one for a season.
What?
In like some other series.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That was really good.
All right, the scary robot things from the future have been trying to repair their damaged ship using human parts. Yuck. In this next clip, they again tried to get at Renette, and we get a clue as to why.
You didn't have the parts, so you used the crew.
The crew?
We found a camera with an eye in it. And there was a heart wired into machinery.
It's just doing what it was programmed to. Repairing the ship any way it can with whatever it can find.
But what are you doing here? You've opened up time windows. That takes colossal energy. Why come here? You could have gone to your repair yard. Instead, you come to 18th century France. Why?
One more part is required.
And why haven't you taken it?
She is incomplete.
Well, so that's the plan, then. Just keep opening up more and more time windows, scanning her brain, checking to see if she's done yet.
Why her? Got all of history to choose from. Why specifically her?
We are the same.
We're not the same. We are in no sense the same.
We are the same.
Get out of here! Get out of here this instant!
Renette, no.
This is kind of creepy, where you find out they're just watching her so that they can kind of organ harvest her at some point.
Yeah. We don't know when, but...
Yeah. Right. Because you don't know what you're waiting... They're waiting for how...
They
how
keep checking.
When she's complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you also find out that they listen to her now. Because when she tells it to leave, it goes.
Yeah. Well, that when she was a young child, right? That's when it first started?
Right.
No, it was when she was a teenager.
When she talked to it?
When she talked to it, and he's like, wait, it's listening to you.
Right.
Tell it to answer me.
Yep.
And so it listens, and she, you know, she tells it that it has to answer the doctor and give him whatever information he wants.
And did we ever determine why?
Yes, and it's a big clue right here, and I did not realize it until the end of the episode, what was going on.
When they say we are the same?
We are the same,
yes.
Is what the thing, and so she thinks that it's referring to the fact that it's a robot.
Right.
And she's like, there's no way that we're the same. And really, I mean, we find out later on, but we're not going to give that away yet, are we?
No. Yes, please.
Yeah. No. We'll tell you at the end.
Yeah, we'll tell you at the end. So keep listening.
Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yes. It's a big reveal at the end.
You like surprises. You apparently didn't watch till the very end.
All right, the doctor wants to know more about why would they want Renette. He does a Vulcan mind meld with her, and to his surprise, he is the one who reveals information to her.
To walk among the memories of another living soul. Do you ever get used to this?
I don't make a habit of it.
How can you resist?
What age are you?
So impertinent a question so early in the conversation. How promising.
No, not my question, theirs. You're 23, and for some reason that means you're not old enough. Sorry, you might find old memories reawakening, side effect.
Oh, such a lonely childhood.
It'll pass. Stay with me.
Oh, Doctor. So lonely, so very, very alone.
You mean alone? You've never been alone in your life. When did you start calling me Doctor?
Such a lonely little boy. Lonely then and lonelier now. How can you bear it?
How did you do that?
A door once opened may be stepped through in either direction. Oh, Doctor. My lonely Doctor. Dance with me.
I can't.
Dance with me.
This is the night you dance with the King.
Then first I shall make him jealous.
I can't.
Doctor. Doctor who? It's more than just a secret, isn't it?
What did you see?
This is where you get some really key moments for the Doctor and his the mythology of the Doctor. We do know that he was a lonely child. We do know that he knew the Master when they were children, and that bad things happened. And he is lonely throughout his entire journey, and that's kind of the reason he picks up humans... and other companions too, because he's lonely, and this gives him a bit. This gives him his humanity that keeps him in touch, and doesn't make him cold and insane like perhaps the Master.
Right.
I also like the fact that they talk about his name. They're essentially kind of talking about his name being a secret.
Yes.
And they're not going to talk about that until this upcoming season, the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But they allude to it, which is kind of nice. It's kind of a nice setup.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I have really liked about Doctor Who is there are repercussions that are felt from episode to episode, season to season, and even doctor to doctor.
Yeah. Like the chopped off hand that was used.
Yes.
This is pretty interesting listening to you guys talk about this because I have some familiarity with Doctor Who. I'm not a hookie.
Wait, what was it?
Oh, wow. You just invented a new word.
I don't think there's is there actually a term?
It's a Whovian.
Yeah, Whovian.
A okay. Whovian?
I'm going to take a page out of Carrie's book here. I'm not a Whovian, but listening to you guys analyze this, man, y'all are good. This is very interesting, and I just learned a whole bunch. And my takeaway from this scene was the word lonely is one of the worst words that I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that word. When someone says they're lonely, it's a terror. It's a horrible, terrible thing. So now I am very sympathetic for Doctor Who.
Right.
It's very sad to me.
Yes.
It is sad.
Oh, and you should see, when he's in the TARDIS alone, he's just... almost always, he's kind of morose. No matter which doctor it is.
Yeah.
He is never perky when he does not have a companion with him.
I like that.
And, one of the best moments, I thought, was when he was reunited with Sarah Jane, and I think it was also the 10th Doctor that happened, and
yeah,
he saw K-9.
Yep.
It was just unbelievable. They've really done some fantastic stuff with the mythology.
I also like Renette. How often do people interact with him at this intimate level?
Not very often.
Yeah, it doesn't very often happen. Usually he's fixing something that's there's meaty episodes, but most of the time it's his companion that he has this kind of interaction with.
Because his relationship with Renette is deeper than what I see with the other two companions. There's definitely something special going on there where she's able to walk through the door into his mind.
Rose is a pretty special companion too, though.
Yeah. And the fact that she went backwards and looked into his memories, I think probably makes him, more wary of doing that kind of thing in the future.
Yeah.
To me, it kind of reminded me of the second regeneration of Romana, the time lady that was with him for a while. And I don't know if you guys know that one, but...
No, I don't.
It seemed like a kind of a similar personality, where she was just smart on top of things, seemed to know the doctor really well. So there's have been companions in the past that he's connected with very well, but it's not often.
Right.
Very interesting. All right, moving on. Rose goes to give Renette a warning. They think that Renette will be harvested in 5 years, but Renette walks onto the ship in the future and learns some things.
No, you can't go in there. The doctor will come back.
So this is his world. What was that?
The time window. The doctor fixed an audio link.
Those screams. Is that my future?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then I must take the slower path.
Are you there? Can you hear me? I need you now. You promised. The clock on the mantle is broken.
That's my voice.
It is time.
Rose, come on. We've got to go. There's a problem.
Give me a moment.
No, I'm very afraid. But you and I both know, don't we, Rose? The doctor is worth amongst us.
This is a really telling thing because Rose has a tie. We've already mentioned it previously. Rose is very, very special. And I think Renette saw that in the doctor's mind.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true.
because otherwise, I mean, she really hadn't seen Rose before. How would she know that the doctors were were the monsters for her?
Or even that her name was Rose.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So it's very clever how they stick that in there. And it's not hitting you over the head. It's just mentioned and talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pick up on it.
Yeah, which I did not.
Now, and I like how she steps in there and she knows that she's hearing things from her own future.
Yeah, yeah, she's smart.
And yet she also realizes that she can't go and look. She has to go back and live through it.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about Madame de Pompadour. She was a really, really interesting person. I studied French in high school for 4 years, and we got into, you know, the history of, and so Madame de Pompadour, her mom, she claims that her mom took her when she was a small child to a fortune teller, and the fortune teller had told her that she was going, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about that she would reign over a king or a king, you know, that she would essentially have control of a king through love. And so that's why her mom started calling her Renette, which is little queen.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But she was a mistress, though.
Yeah, but it was an acceptable. It was a title in the French court, so it wasn't like the secret thing or anything. It was she lived there. She was accepted as a mistress, and had the title of the mistress of the king.
Yeah, I took a look at the Wikipedia article. Hey, Carrie, I didn't do 4 years of French, but I did look at Wikipedia.
What does Wikipedia say?
That the reason why she was so successful in the king's court is that she made friends with the queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they were friends.
Yeah.
And she was just skilled in everything. She was very smart. She was very beautiful. She was a wonderful socialite. And that the king was kind of a depressed guy. And she was constantly coming up with things that delighted him, including getting him another mistress once she aged, which was kind of like, really?
Holy crap. Well, you know, it keeps her position secure.
It does. And, you know, it's just, that's a different time and a different culture. And I was like, wow.
But, I mean, looking at all that, she's charismatic. She's smart. She's funny. She's talented. She's skilled. You can see why the doctor, because that's everything the doctor is, too.
And the actress did a pretty darn good job, I thought, of presenting this in a believable manner. I mean, she's obviously extremely young, but there was something to her that was compelling.
Yeah, it was. How did she get onto the ship? Did she walk through the fire, or did she accidentally? I can't remember.
I think she walked.
This is. It was through the mirrors. Remember, there were mirrors that were portals.
Oh yeah,
and went backwards through one of the mirrors
on accident.
No, on purpose.
No, she followed Rose, right?
Yeah.
Or no, she heard her voice, her own. I can't remember. Did she hear her own voice and that made her go over?
I don't remember. But remember. That was a little bit odd.
It's also a problem because unless Madame de Pompadour has an area of like 3 months, 4 months, a year, I don't know how long, that she was gone, where she was missing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, Chris.
Yeah, it's a little odd because time, it's the dilation is different between the two places.
Yeah, that was not addressed at all.
Right.
Okay, Renette is of the correct age, which is apparently 37. The robots come to collect her.
I shall not be going with you today. I have seen your world, and I have no desire to set foot there again.
We do not require your feet.
You think I fear you, but I do not fear you even now. You are merely the nightmare of my childhood, the monster from under my bed. And if my nightmare can return to plague me, then rest assured, so will yours.
Madame de Pompadour, you look younger every day.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, this is my lover, the King of France.
Yeah? Well, I'm the Lord of Time.
Now, what is it with the doctor all of a sudden being possessive? I think that's when you know it's starting to be serious.
Yes.
But this was a little odd, too, because they were trying to get through the mirror, and, you know, they're saying, you know, we can't get through it. You need a car or something to get through it, and it looked like he busted through it a little too easily with the horse, but it was a wonderful entrance.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And having the horse on the other ship was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the meadow.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, the doctor broke the portal to the ship when he jumped through the window. He is trapped, but he was aware that this would happen before he made the decision. However, in this next clip, he discovers that there may indeed be a way back.
Fireplace from your bedroom. When did you do this?
Many years ago. In the hope that a door once opened may someday open again. One never quite knows when one needs one's doctor. It appears undamaged. Do you think it will still work?
You broke the bond with the ship when you moved it, which means it was offline when the mirror broke. That's what saved it. But the link is basically physical, and it's still physically here. It might just mean, if I'm lucky, if I'm very, 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 very lucky. Aha!
What?
Lose connection. Need to get a man in. Wish me luck.
No.
Man the Pompadour. Still want to see those stars?
More than anything.
Give me 2 minutes. Pack a bag.
Am I going somewhere?
Go to the window. Pick a star. Any star.
Okay, so essentially the fireplace, she moved it from her original house to her place at the palace.
Yeah.
Piece by piece, just the whole thing, and it's there. And it still apparently has its connection to the ship, even though it's offline. You know, like it can still be connected back.
Right.
Which seems kind of convenient, because you would think if it's loose wiring, he would understand that he's not just going to be gone for 2 minutes, because it wasn't that way when he was on the other side of it.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking with that, because it was a lot longer than that.
I think that this was a moment of excitement.
And he wasn't thinking?
He was not thinking. You know, he was excited that they had found this way for him to get back to his TARDIS and his companions, and he meant well. And he planned on coming back to do this for her, but he just completely forgot what was going to happen.
Why didn't he just bring her with him at the same time?
Exactly. That's what he could have done.
And then he wouldn't have to worry about coming back in 2 minutes. He could be like, I could return you back here in 2 minutes. Come with me and we'll go on this adventure.
Yeah, but that's another thing that he does in other episodes too.
Yes.
He says he'll be back and then he's
not. He's impetuous.
Yes.
And often he does leap into things.
Right.
That's definitely his modus operandi.
I thought it was pretty interesting that it seems like he was prepared to give up his TARDIS to be with this woman. Is that correct?
To save her.
Right.
And if it meant being with her, I mean, clearly she is on a level it's not equal to his own, but it's a level above where all the rest of the people are.
He had no regrets about it. I mean, there was a moment where he thought he was trapped and he was okay with, he seemed to be okay with that.
Well, yeah, because he would just live until he caught up with his TARDIS.
Right.
No, but that wouldn't be long at all, because he's traveled throughout history. All he has to do is jump into the TARDIS of one of his past selves while he's out, the past self is out. Go
right.
Take it somewhere and then put it back. And
yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing, because now it's not real. It's not a real sacrifice.
Well, no, it is. It's just not as big a sacrifice as you think.
Right. And that's how they can get around certain things, is if it seems like it's all hopeless, it's really not, because he can do this. But, you know, it still comes at a great cost.
Right.
Because what about Mickey and Rose? They're on that ship by themselves with the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can companions run the TARDIS?
No.
No.
Oh, that's not good.
No. Or I should say rarely.
Yes, there are occasions where something happens that lets
them. Adric could, and Romana could. I can't remember anybody else that could.
Wow, Chris, you know all of them.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
All right, the doctor thinks he is gone for only a moment. Nope, like 5 years. He comes back to face a sad reality.
Renette! You there, Renette? Ned!
Oh, hello. You just missed her. She'll be in Paris by 6.
Ah. Oh.
There she goes, leaving Versailles for the last time. Only 43 when she died. Too young. Too young. Illness took her in the end. She always did work too hard. What does she say? Of course. Quite right. I'm always all right.
My dear doctor, the path has never seemed more slow, and yet I fear I am nearing its end. Reason tells me that you and I are unlikely to meet again, but I think I shall not listen to reason. I have seen the world inside your head and know that all things are possible. Hurry, though, my love. My days grow shorter now, and I am so very weak. Godspeed, my lonely angel.
Now, this is where they take, like they do in so many of the Doctor Who episodes, where they take this thing that's been a really light and adventurous episode and turn it really sad at the end.
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah.
It was really harsh. It was hard for me.
But it was wonderful at the same time.
It's meant to kind of give you a bit of the feeling of what the Doctor's life is like all the time.
They succeeded.
Yeah, that's it exactly, Mike. It's like that I'm always all right, quote, really gets to me as far as the Doctor.
Right. Because to him, all of his companions' lives are that short.
Yes.
You know, listening to you guys talk about, I said this a few minutes ago, I'm going to say it again. Listening to you guys talk about this and your sharp analysis, man, I wonder if our Star Trek stuff is this good. Because, man, I mean, it was sad to me, but I did not make the connection that that's designed for us to understand how the Doctor feels all the time, because he's immortal, and right? He's immortal, right?
Yes. Right. Yes.
And people come and go, because we're not mortal, immortal. Yep. We're immortal.
Exactly.
And we have very short lifespans. I mean, yeah. In addition to not being immortal.
Right.
Too short. Yeah. Especially at 43 years old.
Well, and it was, I mean, 43 is pretty young to us now.
Right.
But, I mean, diseases were a lot more prevalent back then.
Okay.
As far as, you know, not being able to be cured or treated and or even known that they had them till the very end.
It's really a bummer ending.
Okay, but here's where we give you the information.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, yes.
So where we can reveal now, finally. So they go outside the ship.
After the doctor reads the letter.
After the doctor reads the letter.
Pan you, out or zoom out.
Yes. And what do you think is on the side of the ship?
Yeah, the key-shaped ship.
The key-shaped ship. What do you think is on the side of it?
I don't know.
What's on the outside of a Star Trek ship?
The name.
What's on the outside of that ship, do you think?
The name. Is it her name?
What do you think the name is?
Yep, it's
is it her name?
It's yep. Her name. They are the same.
So I guess what...
Oh.
They are the same. And that's why it had to be her. Which is really... I think that was really stupid of them.
Okay, actually, I need more help. I need a little more help. So the name of the ship is the Renette.
No, it's Madame de Pompadour.
Okay. It's Madame de Pompadour.
De Pompadour.
It's actually named after her.
And that's why she was incomplete, because she was not yet Madame de Pompadour. Right?
Right.
She was Renette.
There was something that they figured out with the 37 that was important, but I don't remember what that was.
I don't remember.
Who built the ship?
You don't really know.
Well, here's my idea is that this is a ship meant to celebrate the 17th century or something, and that the crew was there, right? And then they got torn up to pieces, but they're the ones that probably created these clockwork androids.
Yes.
So to me, the presence of those clockwork androids meant that it was something in celebration of that time period.
Right.
For whatever reason, we don't know. And it's really...
They were, like, studying it, or they were studying her.
That could be. Yeah, that could be.
More specifically.
Yeah.
It was designed for her at various stages in her life. Hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool. All right. Let's...
I looked it up. Okay. It's because the ship, the systems were 37 years old.
Ah, okay.
So they had to... But it's like, if they could open up multiple time windows, I don't know why they just didn't jump to when she was 37.
That's because they didn't... I don't think they understood human aging, really. Or the way that it was working when they were connecting to the past. So they had to go there and scan her and figure out, temporally, if she was the right... You know, if she was ripe, basically.
And then they would open up another one because they'd realize that that's not it.
Right.
This next one's not it, you know. And plus, the doctor said that opening these up wasn't the most precise of.
Yeah.
Science. Almost like trying to tune a radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want us to go far forward too far and go past it, so they're tuning it a little bit at a time and checking the station.
Carrie's not sure.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple things that I was like. Really?
No, it didn't quite work for you.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still... That's one thing that I like about it. It's, you know, like Star Trek, there are certain things that just don't work. There are certain things that sometimes don't make sense. But all in all, it's usually pretty good, even when there are things that don't work. And that's why, you know, I can be harsh on it sometimes and still give it a decent score.
Again, I'm okay sometimes when not everything is spoon-fed to us and explained to us in complete clarity. So, you know, that can be okay. You know, it allows for various kinds of interpretation. So I'm okay with that.
And see, as somebody who doesn't watch Doctor Who, sometimes it's hard to just sit in an episode where you haven't seen really anything before it or anything after it, because there's all these references that you don't get.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold on. But this episode, most of the episodes work independently. It's that you get extra out of it if you know what's gone on before.
Right.
Right. Right.
Well, but there's a lot of rich backstory. Like, for example, I did not recognize the TARDIS. It looked weird to me.
What?
When they were in
the blue box?
No, when they were inside of it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
well, that's because the control room actually changes for each doctor.
Okay. I mean, that was confusing.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things like that that are confusing.
Gotcha.
Okay, let's go ahead and rate this thing. Looks like I'm up first. I will give this a... I want to go last.
You can go last. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go last. I'm going to rate mine based on what everyone else says.
You can't. No.
No, now you got to go first.
Yeah, if you're going to base yours on everyone else's, you have to go first.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Oh, pulling the carry.
It's almost dazzling. It's so close to dazzling, but I just can't do it. That's it.
Okay. I am going to give it a 7. Exceptional. This is a great episode, fun to watch. I would definitely watch it if it was on TV. But that's because I love all of the newer Doctor Who episodes.
I'm going to give mine an 8, dazzling. I really enjoyed that. I loved all the connections to Doctor Who and, you know, what he represents, and also it being kind of an image of his life and how he feels. So I thought that was really impressive to wrap that all up in a single 45-minute package.
I'm going to go 7.5. it is very, very clever. There are some things that didn't quite work for me in it, so I don't feel comfortable giving it an 8. But it's enjoyable. It does give us backstory. It introduces history, real history, at least on a superficial level. And the one thing that it doesn't do is, you know, like those of us who have seen Doctor Who, we know about the Rose-Mickey relationship and how that changes over time and where it's been and where it's going. And so this was kind of like a throwaway in respect to them.
Well, Mickey was kind of hold on. Mickey was kind of throwaway anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, you know, he became I don't want to, you know, go and give stuff away, but he actually became something important.
Well, alternate Mickey was awesome. Universe Mickey when...
Mirror Universe Mickey.
No, it wasn't Mirror. He wasn't evil Mickey.
You would say that, Chris.
But he was tough Mickey. I mean, he was... because he was in a situation where, like, the Cybermen were invaded.
See, now you're giving stuff away.
I'm not giving stuff away.
I think that I enjoyed reviewing this a lot. And I think every other week we should do a bonus episode.
A bonus episode of Doctor Who?
Of something. I'm serious. That makes everyone mad. But man, I watched the show, and then listening to you guys made it way better. And I think that's cool. That's something that you should. That, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like to do this podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't watch a lot of Doctor Who, so.
You might start now.
Had you ever seen it before you saw Blink?
Yes. I do have some familiarity with it. I grew up during the Peter Davison years. Yep. So I watched some of those.
Is that the scarf one?
No, that's Tom Baker. You know
Baker.
Tom Baker.
I think.
Sorry.
I watched some
Tom
Baker.
I'm
going to
have some more caffeine.
In fact, Peter Davison was referenced in the beginning, right, when I said, there's not too many men that could pull off a decorative vegetable.
Right.
In the intro.
He was the salary guy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, yeah.
Because that came from there was a small, like, 5-minute episode that was specially made, and it had Peter Davison crossing over with David Tennant.
Wow.
And interestingly...
5-minute episode?
Yes, it was a special.
A special commercial?
No, it was like some type of fundraiser for, you know, kids in need or something like that. And interestingly, Jeff, David Tennant married Peter Davison, who's the fifth Doctor's daughter in real life.
Wow.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah. And actually, she played the Doctor's daughter, who was created as a clone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's who he married?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
That's cool.
Were they already involved before then, or did they meet that way?
I don't know. I don't know that much into it, but
keeping it in the family.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into Technologic Trivia.
Wait, there's no trivia.
We have none. Congratulations, it's over.
0 points.
I'm so mad that I don't have controls. We're supposed to play the music, Chris, and then Carrie's on the spot, and she'll come up with something.
Yeah.
That's what happened last time.
Wait. I know what's going to happen. There's no trivia.
Yeah, you forget. I live with her.
All right, let's move into...
Come over and prevent him from playing the music.
Let's move into the listening post.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Okay, so I went ahead and flipped my iTunes over to Canada, so we have 5-star reviews in iTunes from Canada.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know you could do that.
Go Canada.
So here's the first one from July 20th, 2011, from Zendalini. Who knows who that is?
Cindy.
That's Cindy. Here's what she says. You don't have to be a Trekkie to enjoy this, but you will get a sense of satisfaction if you're a longtime fan of Star Trek. You'll want to join in on the conversation every time, Cindy.
Wow. Too bad we didn't hear that. We're just now getting to him, and it's like almost a year later.
Here's the next one from Sterling. Vlad from the forums here. Anyone there knows I'm not much of a Trekkie. Truth be told, Star Trek is not one of my favorite science fiction.
Go Vlad.
Indeed, I don't really even care about the science aspect of it all.
Vlad!
Wow.
I'm going to take back that go Vlad. That's funny. Vlad.
Humanities and information technology are my areas of expertise and interest. But I have to hand it to the Technologic crew. Good audio. Good discussions. You can tell they like the show. Oh, this is long. You can tell they like the show, and in some cases, too much. But everyone has their hobbies.
Yeah,
I like
Jeff.
Hearing people. What, Chris?
Yeah, Jeff. Some people like it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, it could be. I like hearing people talk about Star Trek more than watching it, it seems, which is fine, because us Canadians get shafted with Netflix. They don't have the episodes anyway.
Oh, man. Aww.
Boo.
Yeah. If you're looking for a darn fine podcast with entertaining hosts, good dynamic, and regular people with lives, at least I think they have lives, discussing their hobby in insightful and entertaining ways, you'll love this podcast. Man, I love this review. While I personally find Star Trek ridiculous, dorky, and in some cases incredibly dull and annoying, the folks at Technologic bring enough humanity to the table that they've gotten me watching some of the episodes.
Nice.
Wow. Pull out your mint-in-box decapitation Wesley dolls, action figures, and utter a line never used in the actual show, beam me up, Scotty. Wow, Vlad, that was great.
Oh, okay, Vlad, what the heck brought you to the table to actually listen to this podcast?
I had the answer to that.
Oh.
He was one of our listeners from Six Arrows.
Oh, okay.
He's a role player.
Wow.
Oh.
That's where he came from.
Because I can't imagine somebody with that general outlook just picking up on this podcast.
Let's go listen to Star Trek.
I hate Star Trek. I'm not a big fan of Star Trek. I really don't like it. It annoys me. But let me listen to what people have to say about it.
Vlad is an interesting guy. Yeah. Mike and I played the Old Republic with him.
Yep.
For a while, and he is you don't know what he's going to say next. He is interesting. Thank you very much for that email or that 5-star review. Here's another one from January 12th of this year from Danzy? Denise? This podcast
Denise Crosby?
Is so much fun. What's that?
Denise Crosby?
Yeah, I'm thinking that if she listens to any Star Trek podcast, if she listened to us, she would stop listening.
Yeah, she would. This podcast is so much fun. Brings back good memories, and I find myself talking out loud. Oh yeah, I love that part too. Good point. Ha 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 ha. To the podcast, I love how much they enjoy talking about the episodes that we all or some of us know and love. But I also appreciate the criticisms that they give the shows too. I mean, just because you love the show doesn't mean you can't make fun of it a little. Smile face.
All right.
Love a good time tracking it up. Wow. That was another great one. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And let's see here. Here's from Mr. Noah Buddy.
Noah Buddy.
Mr. Noah Buddy. As a guy that has bounced in and out of the various Star Trek franchises, I love the fact that these podcasters cover all the franchises and also all the winning and losing episodes. It's a must listen as soon as it appears. Great job.
At first, I thought I was going to say, as a guy who's been, you know, in and out of various prisons.
And let's see, here's one from, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Nobody. Here's one from JoJo. Little Green Men and Carrie, 5 stars.
Oh!
A great laugh. There's nothing better than splitting a gut over good and bad episodes of Star Trek. What? Bad episodes? The laughter lets everyone know they love the show. The best Trek podcast out there, hands down. Break out the Tranya and have fun.
Tranya.
Man, thank you so much for that one. Those were fun. Are we done? Should I do another country?
You going to flip it over to, like, Japan or something?
We won't have any in Japan.
How about Russia? Any Russian?
I'm pretty sure that they like science fiction in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good for now. So anyway, those are some 5-star reviews from our neighbors to the north. We love Canada.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Let's see here. Anything else we want to talk about?
No.
No. All right. Let's go ahead and close out the show. Hey, Chris, what's our next bonus episode?
Our next bonus episode is, let me take a look. I've got a few.
Wow, that's a good episode. I like the, let me take a look.
What's our next bonus episode? it'll be something.
Well,
sometime.
It could be our Doomsday episode.
Yeah, we have a Doomsday episode. Where was the Doomsday episode?
Yeah, that one.
As I like to call it, the mutually assured self-destruction.
Okay. You know, I have a suggestion about that, if I may. I believe I've mentioned this, but in case no one heard me.
You want to delete it?
No. I think this bonus episode should be for people that get 100 Quatloos.
Oh.
You said that already.
That he's saying it again, because he still thinks it. Again.
They have to get 100 Quatloos, and then they can listen to it?
Yeah, he thinks it should be a reward rather than
a Doomsday
episode. But it's kind of like a punishment.
For some of them, it'll be a punishment.
You're not supposed to punish people for getting 100 Quatloos.
So wait, if they get 100 Quatloos, we send them the episode?
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't actually release it?
That's what he's suggesting.
That is my suggestion.
That's crazy talk.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, we would make them promise not to share it, and it would make them feel very special. Because they would be in on the joke.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but
it would make them feel very special that we singled out for punishment.
Are you saying we keep it in the hopper is like the bonus of last resort and then still send it out to people?
I'm saying never release it. Ever. And you don't think that'll motivate people to get Quatloos? It will. I guarantee you.
Yeah, people are motivated to get Quatloos anyway.
Oh, man. They'll be pining over it.
Oh,
and
look.
Someone gets it and they hear it and they can only post. You can't post what it's about. You can only describe how horrible it was.
What happens if they do?
They won't.
It's the internet.
No, they won't. They won't. I know our audience. They won't do it. They won't do it.
Look,
that's the promise.
It's the podcast version of an agonizer.
Yeah. Right now, people are thinking and wanting what I'm suggesting. I'm telling you.
Until they hear the first second of it.
Then they'll be like, I paid 100 Quatloos for this?
No, they won't. They'll be like, wow, I can't believe this. That's what they'll be. I'm telling you, everyone wants to listen to it right now.
Well, but nobody liked my Easter egg. No, they never. I don't think anybody got the idea.
You had too much time. There was too much blank time before it.
They probably just thought
it was
editing.
It was really quiet.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be. Like, you couldn't find it easily, right? That's the Easter egg.
I thought it was over.
The thing is about podcasts. You can see how much time is left.
If you look.
Yeah.
I didn't look. I heard it was over. I flipped to my next podcast immediately. And until it was mentioned. And then I went back and listened to it. That's probably what happened. Chris, remember, when I first started putting bloopers in, Tara didn't discover that for like 4 months. Do you remember that? It was like four months before Tara discovered the dang bloopers.
And that's what had us put in the blooper identifier.
You can't – that's just podcasting. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we're done talking about stuff. until then
– No.
Where
is
she?
She dropped out again. You'll have to wait because she's got to do her blooper thing.
Oh, we don't edit these.
Yes,
we do. Yeah, that's right. So there is no.
We'll just end it.
It's going to be edited.
Everyone here at Technologic, live long and prosper.